Welcome to the Journey of You, Reflections on Faith, Identity, and Becoming. I'm your host, Tonya D. Venice. This is a space to slow down, breathe deep, and tell the truth about where you've been, where you are, and who you're becoming. Here, your story is honored, but it does not define you. It becomes your testimony. Wherever you're listening from, you're invited to settle in. You don't have to rush this journey. You don't have to walk it alone. Good morning, Journey of You family, and welcome to this week's podcast. So I know this month we've been talking about elevate and really elevating our mindset and our perspective. And we're going higher, okay? We're going to lift our perspective. We're going to renew our mindset. We're going to refine our approach. And we're going to increase our production, okay? And I don't mean increase being busy. I mean, actually being productive. Okay. And so last week we talked about seeing life from a higher perspective. Today, we're going to dig deeper into how to elevate your mindset, because what you think determines what you believe, and what you believe determines how you live. We already know scripture that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you think about literally affects every single thing that you do. So today I want to really hone in on that. Okay. Because a renewed mind is the birthplace of transformation. We want to unlock the power of your mindset that aligns with God's truth, okay? And the best way for you to do that, of course, is to be renewed by the word. And so we're going to jump into Romans 12, verse 2. This particular one is from the New International Version, but it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Think about that. How often are you like, oh, I'm praying God's will. I want God's will for my life. But then you're like, but I don't know what his will is. Well, he just told us. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Does it line up with his word? Does it, you know, follow along with scripture and the things that God has told you to do? Is it confirming things in your spirit that he's already told you? All of those are giveaways to what is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And as long as you're aligning it with his word, then it's a lot easier for you to determine, yes, this is God's will for me, or no, I need to run, okay? Because transformation doesn't begin with what's around you or your environment, external things. No, it begins with what's within you, what's inside. And so you've got to work on that, the posture of your heart and what your thoughts are, okay? Because Philippians 4:8 also encourages us to fix our thoughts on whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Why? Because your focus feeds your faith, or your focus feeds your fear. So which one is it feeding for you, even in this very moment? Is your focus causing you to fear, and it's magnifying that fear? Or is it causing you to have more faith? I'll give you an example. I had to go on a flight the other day, which I enjoy traveling. I've noticed that if I can drive somewhere, I will hop in the car and drive. It could be 10 hours, 12 hours, 5 hours, whatever. I'll hop in the car and go. Won't think twice about it. Pack up the car and go. It is more convenient, of course, to get on an airplane. And somewhere that would take me 10 hours to get to in a car, I could probably get there in an hour and a half, 2 hours on a plane. And so it's obviously much more efficient in terms of time. But in few recent years, I'm not sure what changed. I've flown a million times in my life. But in the last few years, it has been very difficult, like where I have an actual panic attack. And Friday morning, we were at the airport getting ready to go. And I had been thinking about it all week and just trying to prepare my mind to be ready for, okay, I'm getting on a plane. It's going to be okay. And the reason that it bothers me, one, I don't like enclosed spaces. I will take the stairs before I'll take an elevator. I would like to be free. And, you know, in the car, I could get out anytime I want to. I could stop, you know, at any time I want to. I'm in control. In a plane, I'm not. I know everybody's like, it's safe in a plane. I get that. But it's the fact of, like, once they close that door, you cannot get out again until they tell you. And even when they land, until they get to the runway,
You can't even take your seatbelt off and get up and go to the bathroom, anything. And so it's in someone else's control. That part of it is hard. And just the fact of, I don't know, really it's that more than anything. And then you've got to sit and wait to take off. While we're moving, I'm okay. But it's like once you stop and you've got to wait for the gate to open or you've got to wait to have clearance to take off and you're just sitting there. I don't know. Something about that I have a hard time with. And I don't know if it's because of being more aware of death or, you know, just, I don't know, just more aware of life and how finite it can be. I'm not sure. But anyway, I was thinking about it all week and just like asking God to please just help me prepare my mind and to be ready. And I was doing fine. We were all there, my husband, all the kids, and it was time to get ready to get on the plane where we were actually lining up to board. And they were calling, you know, each zone, and they got to our zone. And it was like, I'll just wait. And they went to the next zone after us, and they were like, we need to get in line. And it was just like, I was prolonging getting on the plane. And as soon as we got in line, I started crying uncontrollably. And I was having a panic attack. And my daughter was holding my hand. And I was just like, out loud, telling myself to just breathe. It's okay. You're going to be okay. Breathe. But the tears would not stop flowing. And I mean, I was terrified. And I just wanted to already be, you know, on the other side where we've already landed and it's good to go. And even about, I want to say like 11:30 p.m. the night before, I was just like, man, I wish it was already 11:30 tomorrow night. I would have already, you know, gotten through both flights and I would be okay. Because we were taking two flights in one day. Okay. I was facing my fears twice in one day. And it was very hard. And so I start, you know, walking. Every time I get to the plane, I get to the door, I always put my hand on the side of it and I just pray and thank God for safe travel before we even get on the plane. And I sat down in my seat and my husband was at the window. I have to sit at the aisle just because I feel a little bit more freer there. I don't want to be by the window or in the middle. And so my husband sat by the window and my grandson was in the middle and I was on the end. And I was trying to listen to an audible book and just trying to like keep my mind occupied. And it wasn't working. And so my husband put his hand on my shoulder and he started to pray and he just started reciting scriptures and he turned on worship music. And I just kept breathing and listening. I closed my eyes and I just kept breathing and listening. And I was able to eventually calm down. And then we got ready to take off. And once we started moving, it was like, okay, I'm good. I was fine. I kept on listening to my audible book. You know, I read through an actual physical hard copy book. And I was, you know, fine. We started going through some very heavy turbulence, and a lot of people were like, you know, freaking out a little bit, but that didn't bother me. We were going up and down. It almost felt like a roller coaster ride. I was not fazed by that at all. That kind of stuff didn't bother me. I was like, God, I thank you that you've got this plan in control. The whole world is in your hands, and you're going to guide us. And it was like when we first started, it was raining and cloudy, but then we got up above the clouds, and it reminded me of that quote that was like, you know, rise above the clouds, and you will see the sunshine. And it just made me so excited as we were going through the clouds and experience all that turbulence to get above it and to see nothing but blue skies and sunshine. That to me was magnificent. And so at that point, I was in awe of just like, God, it's amazing that even in the middle of a storm, the sun's always shining. Just like we're in the middle of storms in life, the sun is always still there. God is always still there. And Jesus is right there advocating for us. And so that's why it's like in the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And so I could totally repeat those scriptures right off my tongue with no problem. But it was that initial just getting on the plane. The fear, I made the fear bigger than God, honestly. And it was overwhelming. And so I was fine throughout the rest of the flight. We get off. We were there actually for a funeral. And so then it was my turn to flip the script and just, you know, be strong for my husband like he had just been strong for me on the plane during my fear. And, you know, we walked through that day. It was a very emotional day for everyone. And it was very draining, you know. And we get back to the airport and it's time to get ready for our next flight. And I'm doing fine. We get on the plane and I'm like, okay, I'm cool. It's like, we're going to be back home soon. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. I can handle this. And so I was listening to another book on Audible and matter of fact, it was Kiki Palmer, Master of Me. And so I'm cracking up laughing at some of the things she's saying and, you know, just enjoying myself. And this time my husband was behind me. Tyson was still next to me. And then my daughter was across the aisle from me. And the rest of our kiddos were on the row behind us. And so I was, I was good. Well, we backed up from the gate and I'm like, all right, we're about to take off. But then we got to the runway and we were just sitting and sitting and sitting. And the captain came on after about 15 minutes and was like, hey, we have some paperwork to handle in order for us to conserve gas, which his excuse totally didn't make sense. He was like, but we'll probably take off in about 10 minutes. The fact that we had already sat there completely still for 15 minutes and then had another 10 minutes to go or longer, I was just like, God, why do you keep testing me today? I don't understand. Like, I made it through this already once today. Like, can we just go, please? And we sat there for a good 30 or 40 minutes. That was the part that started to make me come undone because I literally wanted to just like run to the back or run to the front and tell the flight attendants to just let me off this plane. We're in the middle of the runway. Obviously, they're not going to let me off. And if I start running down the aisle demanding they let me off, I'm probably going to get arrested. But I was freaking out. And so I turned on some worship music. I tried to read like the Bible app and let it read to me. But none of that seemed to be calming me down at that moment. And I was just like, Lord, I know that I'm not in control. There's nothing else that I can do right now but just wait. I was like, but I don't want to just sit here. Like, if we were moving, I was like, I'd be okay. Please, Lord, please, I need your help. Can we just move? And literally, no sooner than those words crossed my lip, I promise you, when David said, I called unto the Lord and he heard my cry, I cried. And he heard me, like literally, God heard me. And we started moving. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to be home soon. And we took off. And I was able to chill. I was okay. I didn't start crying or have a panic attack that time, but it was like, I just really had to like tell myself to stay calm. And I was just like, Lord, I mean, I literally cried out, like, Lord, please help me. And he did, because I was like, why are we sitting here? It was starting to make me antsy. And I just wanted to go. But the fear was like overwhelming. And so, the captain came on, was like, hey, we're making our final descent, be touching down in about 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, I'm about to be off of this plane and walk into the car and I'm okay. And, then I have a while to prepare before I do this again. And we landed. And I don't know if you've ever flown on Spirit, but Spirit is not like Delta. And in Atlanta, Delta owns everything in terms of Hartsfield International Airport. And so all of A Terminal is Delta. Spirit's way at the end, like G and F, the very last terminals. And if there are other planes like American or United or anybody else, they all take precedence. And so until our gate opens, you can't go there. Well, wouldn't you know, when we landed, it was time for me to get off the plane. I was like so excited. I was like, yes, we landed. I made it. Hallelujah. And the captain came on yet again and was like, yeah, so there's two other planes that still need to back up. And so until they do, we can't, go to the off ramp. So, we'll sit here for a few minutes. And I was like, Jesus, I don't understand. Like, every single thing that could possibly test me in this moment is happening today. Like, I don't understand. And I was just like, please, please. And so I just put my head against the seat in front of me and I just like took deep breaths. I was like, you're gonna get off soon. It's okay. Within about 10 minutes, we pulled to the gate. And finally, they started letting everybody off, and we were able to get off. And I was just like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It was very, very terrifying. And it was hard to think about things that are true, noble, lovely. I just couldn't think of those things right then because the fear was so great in front of me. And so it's what I was focusing on. And so, saying all that to say that whatever you're focusing on, it's going to feed your fear or it's going to feed your faith. There's no gray area. It is one or the other. And so, what are you focusing on? And is it increasing your faith or is it increasing fear? Okay. So, we want to identify mindsets that need to be elevated. Okay. So, what thoughts have you allowed to live rent-free in your mind? Maybe it's I'm not enough. I always fail. It's too late for me. Those are all lies, but they're dressed as logic. So they sound reasonable, but they're really rooted in fear, not in faith. Maybe someone said that to you when you were little. Maybe that's how people have made you feel in your relationships because you've run you've been hungry or thirsty for this certain type of affection or attention, and somebody comes along to give it to you, but it's the wrong somebody. But because they're feeding that need, you think, oh, it's the best thing since sliced bread, and you are hooked. You are like digging in hook, line, and sinker, only to find out that they weren't actually God's best for you. Whether it was a friendship, a relationship, a job, a business, and all of a sudden things don't go the way that you thought they were going to. And now you're like, man, I'm not enough, or I always fail. It's too late. No, it's not any of those things. It's rooted in a fear that fear came. Maybe it was from your childhood or a certain traumatic experience or just an experience that you went through in general. And those were the lies that were planted. And so now you've taken them as truth because you've thought about them so much and they've taken up so much space in your mind that it seems like they're real and true, but it's not. That doesn't line up with God's word. He said that we are more than conquerors. So you can't say you always fail because that's not true. You're fighting from victory, not for victory. You can't say it's not too late for me. God's mercies are new every single morning. His joy comes in the morning. So you can't say, oh, it's too late for me, because that's completely contradictory to God's word. That's why you've got to know his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you to study, to show yourself approved, a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to know it for yourself. You can't just take somebody else's word for it. And you've got to know it so that when the enemy is trying to drop those things down into your spirit and make you feel like you aren't enough or that you always fail or it's too late, you can say, devil, that doesn't line up with my father says about me. The man who created me, that's not what he says about me. That way you can fight back and you can overcome. And in that particular moment, I wasn't able to do that right then. But my husband was able to do it on my behalf. And it helped me to calm down. Remember, iron sharpens iron. Where two or three are gathered together, God is right there in the midst. And anything you ask in his name, it shall be done. Okay, so even if you can't think of it right then, make sure you're staying connected to other people who can sharpen you and help you to keep going as well. And you do the same for them, okay? Because there's the mindset of Christ, which it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. That means we can think like heaven. We can think strategically, peacefully, and purposefully. The world says hustle harder, but Christ says abide deeper. The world says compare, but Christ says you are complete in him. So it's that mindset of Christ versus the mindset of culture. Which one are you going to go with? Are you going to go with the mindset of Christ where you have that peace and you can think strategically and purposefully? Or is it that mindset of culture? Oh, I got to hustle hard. I got to hustle hard. I got to do this compared to this person. Which one, what is that going to do for you? Is it going to leave you drained and feeling like you constantly can't keep up? Or are you going to feel full and secure and content in him? So it's that mindset of Christ versus the mindset of culture. So some practical ways that you can really elevate your mindset. One, you got to take your thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, when a thought doesn't align with God's truth, don't entertain it, arrest it. Think about that. Think about when somebody gets arrested and what that process looks like. You've got to do the same thing when you have those thoughts that do not align with God's word. That's what we were just saying, that knowing his scripture, opening up, you can even go into the Bible app. If you don't have a concordance, like a physical concordance, you can go in the Bible app and say, I'm dealing with anxiety. What are some scriptures around that? It'll immediately pull up several scriptures. You read through them and find the one that speaks to you. If you don't understand it in the King James Version, switch to the New International Version or go to the Amplified. I like the Message because it's more in a storybook form, so it really allows you to understand it just like you would be reading a novel or a book. You can really grasp the concept of what they're saying. And so do that. Go in there and see what God's truth says about it so you can take that thought captive, okay? But then remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You have to speak life daily. Your words reinforce your mindset. Again, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? Your words, again, they're reinforcing your mindset. So you got to speak life every single day. Begin each day with things like, I am chosen. I have purpose. I think clearly. My mind is sound. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So every time somebody tries to tell you you're crazy, or you feel like you're crazy, or every time it feels like you just cannot get it together, and you're like, oh man, I don't know why I did that. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the more you say it out and you feel that power and authority that comes with it, the better and better you're able to just let it rattle off your tongue. And then the enemy can't attack you. He doesn't come with any new tricks. There is nothing new under the sun. He knows that, oh, this is your weak spot. That's where he's going to keep hitting you. So once you conquer that, he's going to find another weak spot. So you keep asking God to reveal those weak spots to you and fill yourself up with his word and his truth so that when the enemy does come to fight you, you have your whole armor on and you're ready to fight back, okay? You've got to feed your mind faith-filled content. What you consume absolutely shapes your mindset. So there's sermons, there's scriptures, there's books, and podcasts, all rooted in truth that can shift your mental atmosphere. You might be in a bad mood or, hey, on a plane having a panic attack, you know, because of fear. But then you've turned on worship music or a podcast or you're reading your word and it's helping you to reframe your thoughts. And the more and more that you fill your soul with that, the more that it comes up out of you when you need it. So that when you are in those moments that you're starting to panic, you can breathe and remember that God is in control and it'll help you to overcome. Okay. You got to have faith over feelings. Feelings are temporary. They come and go. They are real. Okay, they are absolutely real and you have to acknowledge them and you have to process through them. But your feelings are not always right, okay? So you have to choose to believe what God said, even when you don't feel it. That's mature faith, and elevated thinking. Choosing to believe what God said, even when you don't feel it. And I know that you can relate to that because there's lots of times that we don't feel like doing something. You might not feel like getting up and going to work, but you get up and do it anyway. You may not feel like going for a walk, but you get up and do it anyway. There are some times that we push through what we're feeling to do something. It's the same thing we've got to do when we're reading God's word. And it's like, I don't know. You might not feel like you're more than a conqueror right now in this moment, but choose to believe it anyway. Because the more times that you believe it and the more that God will reveal it to you and you will be able to see that, wow, I am more than a conqueror. God helped me with this and this and this. And then you can start keeping track of all those wins and things that he's done in your life. Then it causes you to question it less because you can go back and look at your track record and the history of all the times that God helped you to be more than a conqueror. And you could be like, yep, I am more than a conqueror. And so then that isn't affecting you as much as it used to. Not to say you're going to be perfect, because obviously that's not even possible for any of us, but you just keep getting better and better and better. Okay. So this week, I want you to write down one limiting belief that you've been carrying. That one thing that keeps you stuck or runs around all day rent-free in your brain. Replace it with a truth from God's word. So if it's, I'm not enough, then you write down, I'm more than enough. Write down, my worth is far above rubies. Whatever scriptures God places in your heart, you write that down and you meditate on that truth every day and speak it out loud, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you say out loud God's word so that you can increase your faith. One thought at a time. You are elevating your mindset and stepping into the fullness of your calling. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the power of a renewed mind. Help us recognize every lie that tries to keep us bound and replace it with your truth. Teach us to think like you, speak like you, and believe like you. Let our minds rise above doubt, fear, and comparison, and dwell in the peace and purpose that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for tuning in, you guys. Next week, we're going to talk about how to elevate your approach and refine the way that we show up in life, business, and relationships. Until then, I just want you to remember that this is your journey and it's where your life begins. And we are here to equip, empower, and encourage you one mindset shift at a time so that you can become all that God created you to be and make your dash count. Have a good week.
Thank you for spending this time with me on the journey of you. If today's reflection resonated, you're welcome to continue the conversation with me on Substack, where I share written reflections and podcast updates. You can find me at toniadbennis.substack.com. Thank you for being here.